Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy heard every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight's subject is the Marx Brothers, but we'll get around to that in a second. First, I have to gloat. I have in my possession a letter from David Wilkinson, who is Peter Cook's British agent, and he says, "Further to your letter of 20 September, your reputation as a broadcaster remains intact. Our Peter Cook was not in Paul Temple. It was an actor who was using that name at the time. What he changed it to or what became of him, I know not." So the kid gets some points here. I don't want to hear any more about it. Okay, on to tonight's subject, the Marx Brothers. The Marx Brothers are sort of difficult to do on this program because they were not recording artists, per se. They were mainly started off in vaudeville, and they did some wonderful, wonderful movies and a little bit of television, but not much. So most of what we'll be listening to tonight comes from old radio shows. We'll hear some things from An Evening with Groucho, which towards the end of his life, he went around and did one-man shows telling stories of his life. We'll hear a little bit of Groucho Marx singing something from The Mikado, from an NBC television production of The Mikado, and a few other surprises. But we'll start out with Groucho Marx singing a wonderful song, which was, I believe, written by Harry Ruby, who wrote most of the songs in the Marx Brothers movies, and it's one of Groucho's most famous songs. And here, there's a bit of introduction. This is from a command performance during the war, and it will lead up to Groucho singing Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
Once again, we bring you the genial, jovial, laughable, affable dispenser of the brand new silver dollars but very little dialogue for the last few minutes, Groucho Marx. Applause. For those of you who are lucky enough to tune in late, let me remind you that this program comes to you through the carelessness of Sludge, the breakfast food that tinkles. For 6 years now, Sludge has been put to every known scientific test, and the only good thing they've found out about it is that it doesn't leak in a plane. There's nothing like it for a quick breakfast. You just got to know how to spread it around. While we're on the subject, I got a couple of requests to sing myself. Oddly enough, the requests were sent in by a couple of strangers named Chico and Harpo. Zeppo doesn't care what I do, which is all right with me, because I don't care what Zeppo does. And he's the guy that can do it. Sing, Groucho. Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus, too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia.
La, 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 la.
When a robe is unfurled, she will show you the world. If you'll step up and tell her where. For a dime, you can see Kankakee or Patty or Washington crossing the Delaware.
La, 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 la.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. Lydia, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of them all. For to bit she will do a mosaica in jazz with a view of Niagara that nobody has. And on a clear day you can see Alcatraz. You can line a lot from Lydia. Come along and see Buffalo Bill with his lasso. Just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Here's Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. Here's Godiva, but with her pajamas on.
La, 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 la.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When she stands, the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet the ship's on her hips, made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said, Lydia.
I said, Lydia.
I said, Lydia.
I better start talking about my family first, I guess. There's quite a group of them. Can you hear me out there? You're not missing anything. Luckily, I can't hear it either. Well, I had a family. I had Harpo played the harp. That was pretty obvious. And Chico was a... what they used to call a chicken chaser. In England now, they call them birds, which is the equivalent of a chicken chaser in America 50 years ago. He did very well with that, too. And Zeppa was born when the Zeppelin arrived in Lakehurst, New Jersey. He had nothing to do with the arrival. My other brother, Gummo, it's not his real name. His real name was Milton. It seemed like such a silly name. And we used to call him Gumshoes because somebody had given him a pair of rubbers. In a nice way, I mean. And that's his name, Gummo Marx. My name, of course, I never did understand. I had an uncle named Julius. He was well over 4 feet. And I was named after him because we were under some peculiar impression that he had money. As a matter of fact, my father wanted to throw him out of the house. But my mother says, no, I remember I read a story once in which a man was supposed to be broke. And when he died, he left a lot of money, so they named me Julius. He never worked anyhow, he was just in the house sitting there. He finally died, and he left a will. His will consisted of a celluloid dickie, an 8-ball, and 3 razor blades. And besides, he owed my father $85, which he never did get from him. Then we had a sister. She wasn't really our sister. She was an adopted sister. The father of that sister had gotten a look at this girl and fled to Canada. And we never saw him again. But the girl stayed with us. And her name was Polly. Polly didn't... she wasn't a bad-looking girl, but her rear end stuck way out. You could play pinochle on her rear end. And Chico was the gambler of the family. He pawned everything. My father was a tailor, and a very bad one. And Chico was always short of money, and he used to hock my father's shears. So whenever my father made a soup, of course it didn't fit. And the shears would be hanging up in the pawn shop in 91st Street. Chico got a job at Clauber Horn and Company. They used to manufacture paper, different kinds of paper. And Chico never brought home a salary, because he was always in the pool room or he was someplace, and he never brought a salary. And my father told him, he says, next week, if you come home without your salary, I'll kill you. They had a very close relationship. Chico didn't know what to do. His father was laying for him, in a nice way, I mean. And Chico entered apprehensively And there was my father waiting for him. And Chico says, "Dad, I got a great surprise for you. They had a sale today on paper. And I took the $3 that I was supposed to bring home, and I bought this paper." And my father opened it, and it was toilet paper. It was the first time we had ever seen toilet paper in our life. We had always used either the Morning World or the Herald Tribune. And when I was real young, before that, I used to smoke it. I'd smoke it up into a small bowl and then light it. It was very good. It was a very peculiar family. I had an uncle who was a chiropodist. He would come to your house and he'd have a small suitcase and he would cut your toenails for 25 cents. Then he got a job. Because there's not much money in cutting toenails for 25 cents. And it was cold, it was winter. So he got a job setting fire to hotels in the Catskills. Then he was so good at this that they finally transferred him and they gave him a job in the Adirondacks, where they had much bigger hotels to buy and better. He finally wound up in Sing Sing. Marvin Hamlisch. That must be you, huh? Oh, this is Marvin Hamlisch. I'm going to sing you a song written by my good friend, Harry Ruby. It's called Timbuktu. Are you ready to play this?
Always ready. Yeah?
Long ago in old New Amsterdam, there lived a cousin of the Duke of Buckingham. His friends knew Buckingham to be a sport, so they cut their ham and called him Buck for short. One day Buck met a little cluck and he whispered, "Ducky dear," in accents loud and clear, "Please marry me, my dear." She replied, "I will be your bride, but there must be no delay." So they were buckled up that day. Soon they had a little bucks to know how fast they grow. There was one buck, two bucks, three bucks, four bucks. No one knows how many more bucks. Mrs. Buck would play the ukulele every morning till two. And while old man Buck was singing, all the little bucks were bucking, ringing. When they had eggs for breakfast, Buck was out of luck. Each buck would eat a dozen eggs, and a dozen cost a buck. The landlord came to raise Buck's rent, but he couldn't raise a sou. So he backed up and mowed the truck, and he said goodbye, said good luck, and he said good luck, he said goodbye, and it's to Timbuktu.
Passengers, if I can get our guest, Chico Marx, to make any sense at all, I think this is the proper place to find out how he and his brothers really started out. Were your parents on the stage before you, Chico?
No, Tobe. But my mother's brother was Al Sheen of Gallagher and Sheen. You see, she loved the stage, and she wanted us to follow in the footsteps of our famous uncle.
Well, she really got her wish, Chico. How did she go about it?
Well, you see, Groucho always had a good voice. You see, he sings pretty good yet. That is, when he cuts out his clowning.
Which is kind of tough, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty tough. And Harpo taught himself to play the harp when he found an old harp in the attic left by my grandmother.
Well, believe me, he plays that harp all right. What was the start of the act as we know it today, Chico?
Well, Groucho, Harpo, and Zeppo were doing an act together in Waukegan. And my mother took me to see them. They didn't know I was coming. See, I hadn't been home in 5 years.
Well, I can imagine that that was quite a reunion. No, it isn't what you think. He could have gone home. He just hadn't been home. Were they surprised to see you, Chico?
You bet they were. You see, I asked the orchestra leader of the theater to let me play the piano for their act. They didn't know I was there. He was a tired violin player. Maybe you heard of him.
Yeah, I think I know a tired violin player by the name of Ben Burney.
No, it's the other one, Jack Benny.
Well, I should have suspected when you mentioned Waukegan. Tell me, what happened when your brother spotted you out there in the orchestra?
Well, you see, Harper saw me first. He had an orange under his hat that he used in the act. So he took it out and hit me right on the head with it. I threw it back and hit Groucho. And the act broke up with us throwing things at each other. The audience thought it was all part of the act, and they ate it up, and they decided to put me in it.
Well, I'm inclined to go right along with the audience, too. That gives us a good picture of the start of the Marx Brothers' style of comedy. Well, Chico, right here, I'd like the passengers to meet your beautiful and diminutive little blonde vocalist, Kim Kimberly. How about that?
Now you're talking to boss. Hey, Kim, come over here, honey. Hey, Tob, isn't she cute?
No, she really is, Chico.
Oh, please, Chico, you mustn't put your arm around me.
What's the matter, Kim? Ain't I going to take you to Hollywood and make a big star out of you?
I don't want to be in pictures with you and your brothers.
What's the matter with my brothers?
Don't you know?
Sure, but I didn't think you did.
Well, I'm afraid of that little guy with the red hair. I'm a blonde, and I'm afraid he chased me all around.
You mean the Hoppo? Well, don't worry, Kim. He chases you around, but he don't mean nothing.
No?
No. Look, I chase you around, don't I?
Yeah.
Well, I mean something.
Don't let him scare you, Kim. I think what he really means is that he wants you to sing that sensational number, Mr. 5x5.
Our next guest is a man who, on the other hand, I don't like to exactly say that without qualifying my statement by saying he's also very well known in the field of, one thing I'm sure of, here he is, that musical genius, that man of no words, Harpo Marx. Yahoo!
Well, Harpo, how are you? Good to see you. What do you say, kid? Yeah, hello, Harp. What's cooking? For a minute, I didn't think he was going to speak to us.
Say, Harpo looks hungry, Jack.
He does at that. Want something to eat, Harpo?
What would you like?
Get him a glass of milk. And a piece of raspberry pie.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid to interrupt again, but things are getting a little dull.
Just a minute, Carpenter.
Here.
After all, we're handicapped.
Yeah, how can we hold a conversation with a guy who won't talk?
Oh, well, apparently you aren't aware of the fact that Mr. Marx always travels with an interpreter. Of course, he's brought him along tonight. Gentlemen of the AEF, may I present Harpo's official interpreter and spokesman, Mr. Gary Cooper.
Hey, Bing, he got more applause than we did. When we
get my things, I'm leaving.
Well, Gary, this is really a surprise. Doggone, I didn't know that you were Harpo's spokesman. So you travel around, do all his talking for him. Is that right?
Yep.
Well, Gary... I'm glad you're here because we're beginning to have a little trouble with Harpo. Do you ever have any trouble with him?
Nope.
Well, I guess that's because you've known him so long. I mean, you're very close to him. You understand him.
Yep.
And he won the Academy Award. Hey, Bing, do you think you could get him to talk?
No.
Nope.
Say, Gary, we had a lot of fun when you were working at Paramount on For Whom the Bell Tolls, didn't we?
Yep.
What do you do? Well, what are you doing now? You on a vacation?
No.
Oh, then you're getting ready for another picture.
Yep.
Is there a part in the picture for me?
Nope.
Well, I'll try one more question. Is Harpo going to play his harp tonight?
Yep.
This guy's beginning to crack like Silent Yoakum, isn't
he? Gary, Yoakum fans back there. Gary, what's Harpo going to play?
The harp.
He said something! Hey, he said something!
Gabby Barber, huh?
What selection?
Whoa. Well, I hate to hog the whole show by talking too much, but Harpo's going to play Who Threw the Overalls in Mrs. Murphy's Chowder. I want to warn you, it's going to sound more like Stardust. Climb upon the harp, sonny boy, and play it like an angel.
For heaven's sake, Gary, what's the matter with him? He's groaning.
Naturally.
Naturally?
Well, he wants the groaner to sing with him.
Okay, Harpo. Sit right over there and pluck me on, boy. Lots of requests tonight for Blue Heaven,
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. I turn to the right and a little white light will lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, and a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven.
Sang willow, tit willow, and I said to him, Dicky bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cry, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave, Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave, and an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Willow, titwillow, titwillow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. First, I would like to take a bow for Harpo and Chico. Hello, I must be going. I cannot stay, I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going.
For my sake, you must stay, for if you go away, you'll spoil this party. I am ruined.
I'll stay a week or two. I'll stay the summer through, but I am telling you, I must be going.
And that's all the time we have for tonight to listen to these Marx Brothers collectibles. I think if you'd never heard of the Marx Brothers, you might not be able to appreciate from this stuff what made them so special. But so go see the movies, especially Duck Soup, and after that, Animal Crackers and Monkey Business. But it's fun to hear a lot of these things. Anyhow, let's see. Next week's program is a program entitled Smash Flops. We'll be hearing records which, for one reason or another, didn't quite make it. And when you hear that some of the titles are things like Bon Voyage Titanic and Congratulations Tom Dewey, you'll understand why. We'll also feature the fabulous Jonathan and Darlene Edwards version of Staying Alive. And let's see, what else? Oh, it says here that Dale Gagne will be at My Place tomorrow night. He's the man that wrote I Need Your Help, Barry Manilow, a very, very funny song, so that should be a lot of fun. And what else? I think that's about it. So until tomorrow night, this is your host, Bob Plaster, thanking you for listening, hoping that you can join me again next week, and until then, reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.